ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden pushing back against growing pressure from Democrats to withdraw from the race after his debate performance this week. ABC's Selena Wang is at the White House this morning.
Sources say that Biden and Vice President Harris spoke to campaign staff on Wednesday, trying to reassure them to move forward together. The 81-year-old telling them, "I'm in this race to the end and we're going to win."
Biden doing radio interviews today with hosts in Philadelphia and Madison, Wisconsin, and will sit down tomorrow with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Hurricane warnings for the Cayman Islands and Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula this morning following Beryl's swipe of southern Jamaica. The heat, the big story across much of the U.S., California in the midst of what could be its worst heat wave in nearly two decades. Intelligence bulletins obtained by ABC News detail concerns about Independence Day celebrations in New York City, San Francisco, and Las Vegas. Their biggest fear, a possible lone terrorist. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Donald Trump wants to undo all he's done for black Americans.
I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
Biden says he's appointed black leaders to high positions in government and fostered a boom in black-owned businesses. Biden campaigns in Madison tomorrow. The leader of the Universities of Wisconsin's second biggest school is stepping down. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone says he plans to return to his faculty position in UWM's business school next spring. Mone was chancellor for 10 years. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Happy 4th from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. It's kind of a bummer for a holiday weekend, but all this recent rain has caused bacteria to grow in our waterways. About half of Dane County beaches are closed. It's actually easier to name the beaches that are open instead of listing the closed ones. So here you go. Bernese, Brigham, Goodman, Maple Bluff, Memorial Pier, Stewart, Troll, Verona, Vilas, and Warner. Those are the beaches that are open. And just because some are closed today doesn't mean they'll be closed all weekend. You can keep an eye on Public Health Madison Dane County's website for updates. Just last year, doctors say that 19% of firework injuries were to people's eyes. In the most severe cases, fireworks can rupture the globe of the eye, and that can cause chemical and thermal burns. And trust me, you do not want to see pictures. Injuries like that can lead to permanent eye damage and vision loss. Doctors see it around Independence Day every year, so they say please wear safety goggles. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is WMDX News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, "I can take someone on aisle three." Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich, with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray, pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the 4-game series tonight with sports on Mike Clemens.
Looking for a place to kick back, grab a bite, vibe out on great music? Look no further than the Rigby in Madison. They're not just a pub. They're where the action is, with something different every day. Rigby Okie Mondays. Trivia.
Partly cloudy this morning. Scattered thunderstorms are possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 84 with wind out of the south at 5 to 10. Tonight, thunderstorms likely 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 74.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Sure, what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market? This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Oh, all right, welcome back to a very special live edition of the Earl Ingram Show on the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July to all of you. We are here today again, once again live at 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the Shaw in Waukesha, and all of those on Civic Media who are taking the time out to listen to us this morning because of a exclusive opportunity that I had on yesterday to interview the President of the United States. So we are playing that interview back live if you're just joining us. And after that, we'll take phone calls at 844-967-2789. Here we are once again, live interview. The interview was recorded yesterday, but this is the show is on live this morning. President Joe Biden. President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separating communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities. And we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as the president, who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of millions of, well, not millions, but over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continuing to come down, and we're gonna lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, and particularly in the black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on big pharma, the pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay 30, it only cost $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now that the caps at $2,000, all the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10, $12, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now that cap, 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More black families have health coverage through the American, the ACA, the Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance, and I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building black wealth. The result, black wealth, since the pandemic, is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a black community. The black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20 and 40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong, simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief for over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs. So they're going to be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29 and the source of my support. And it is, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered a question two that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, what's at stake.
There's one other thing. Look. The fact is, I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America, looked like America. I served with the first black president in American history. I picked a black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. And in addition to that, we're more working on a position that we have provided for. I've appointed more black judges, more black women judges than every other president in American history combined, because it's important. Representation is important. They have to have a voice, and that gives them a voice, gives the black community a voice. And there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. And he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax breaks for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three, I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely, intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up, in fact, to vote. It matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years, and every vote counts. understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and haven't loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who's going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we gave Donald Trump the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive. It may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge. He wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, our economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote. There's so much at stake here. And nothing more, no more at stake than to the working class women and men of America, and particularly minorities, Hispanics, Asian Americans, African Americans. It really matters. That's what makes us who we are. We're a great country because we give everybody a shot. And he doesn't want to give anybody but his, like he said down in Mar-a-Lago, he said, you know, I know you're all rich as hell, and I'm going to make you richer. And they all thought that, and then that's funny. At the same time, as I said, he wants a 10% tariff on everything imported in the United States, which the experts point out is going to raise the taxes on average Americans $2,500, raise their taxes. Well, it gives a $5 trillion tax cut next time out for everybody making. Anyway, I don't want to get too wrapped up, but it really, I have nothing but an incredible disregard for everything he stands for with regard to the community.
And the last question, President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. And but I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up. Get back up. And, we're going to win this election. We're going to just beat Donald Trump like we did in 2020. We're going to beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done, all of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I was wired. I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lowered prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way, when I was over in Normandy, I wanted to go to a World War I cemetery. And this is the same cemetery he stood with his former four-star general, Chief of Staff Kelly, when he was there. And he said, didn't want to go because there are losers and whiners. My son died because of a year in Iraq. And this guy's talking to these guys about being losers and whiners. He has no respect for anybody. I really mean it. And look, a couple of Republicans jumped in and helped me expand health care. Now, for example, you remember, as you reported on it, that when the Agent Orange was being dropped on people's heads during the Vietnam War, that they said they would be compensated. But guess what? They couldn't prove that the specific problem they have is because of Agent Orange. I changed that in the bill that I got passed, that we wrote. And the same way with my son. I was in and out of Iraq many times. He was there for a year. He volunteered to go. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep, to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it. And all those fumes The reason why he came back, he went a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. More brain injuries in that war than any other war. And he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange. They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. You know, 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, it's not quite, well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy that questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birther movement against Barack Obama. You know, this is a guy that said Barack Obama, that black guy, he wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted and they were innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I had the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I'm trying like hell to make sure. Look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3, 4, and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with that. There are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession, and he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine, and they said what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down. There's going to be a soft landing. We're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy has never grown faster than under me. And we're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men and women. Endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. And I'm sorry, I feel so strongly about this, that particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you, that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all the civic media.
You did do.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for all of civic media across the network, across this entire state, that we support you, we love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, by the way, as my mother would say, you're doing God's work, kid. This is really important for so many, many people. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. That is President Joe Biden on civic media. All right. Welcome back to a very special edition, live edition of the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK, a 4th of July holiday edition. We, you know, thank all of you who've taken the time out of this very special day that you have to, you know, listen to us. Our phone lines are open once again at 844-967-2789. Call. We'll get you in immediately. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Again, thanks for taking my call. I guess, so just to kind of talk about, so he had the questions ahead of time, and the responses that this is the best responses that he could give. And one of the things he was harping on was Trump. Didn't he also come out and say, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? I mean, what's more?
Sir, Bart, I didn't hear him say, if you don't vote for me, you aren't black. Maybe, but go ahead. No, he didn't say that.
Yes, he did, Earl. You can.
Listen, I would. Hey, listen, I was. You know, he didn't say that to me.
No, I know he didn't say it to you. He said this, and he said many things to downgrade the African American community, whether he's on track or not. But again, these are the answers that he had to the questions that you gave to him ahead of time.
So Mark, let me say this to you. As an African American for 70 years, when you tell me about what Joe Biden has said and done to the African American community, and the alternative is Donald Trump, there is no comparison. Okay? So I would not use that as a barometer to, you know, compare as a, you know, to African Americans, whether or not somehow we're better off with Donald Trump than we are with Joe Biden. There's just no comparison, man. You know, talk about something different.
All right. I guess that's it, Earl. Again, I think it's awesome that you were able to interview him. And I congratulate you on that. So thank you.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call, as always, man. Thank you always for listening. 844-967-2789 is the number. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you, as always.
Say, Earl, yesterday when I heard your name coming from the press secretary, chills went up my spine, and here's why. Finally, America knows who civic media is. And trust me, that name went like wildfire to the far right, and especially those people. And they're going to want to know, who is this guy, Earl Ingram? Earl, you deserve the highest award Wisconsin can give a broadcaster from taking a station that wasn't much have impact on our elections to the top of the heap in less than a decade. That's unbelievable, Earl. And they all know who you are now. And I know, and you know, I'm preaching to the choir, you're going to be able to interview almost anybody because the credibility you've got from the White House is unbelievable. Have the best fourth you've ever had, buddy.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for those kind words. But no, I did not single-handedly take civic media anywhere. Civic media is the vehicle. And had they not taken a flyer on me, we would never be where we are now. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're tuned in to a live, very special 4th of July edition of the Earl Ingram Show on, and let's not forget it, 540 AM WAUK and Civic Media.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The public is cooling a bit on electric vehicles. That's according to a Pew Research Center poll. Kieran Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin. She says climate change evidence may change people's minds.
We're going to see these numbers continue to grow as more people talk to their friends and families that have been early adopters of these technologies.
The federal government is offering incentives to make electric vehicles more affordable. The cast of the classic TV sitcom Happy Days is coming to central Wisconsin. Henry Winkler, Anson Williams, and Donnie Most are set to appear at the Iola Car Show next weekend. It's the 52nd year for the event that calls itself the biggest car show and swap meet in America. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Happy Independence Day from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Every year you get these warnings about kids and fireworks. But Green Bay Metro Fire Lieutenant Shauna Wallish says there is a really good reason for that.
Sparklers are, you know, kind of a hot topic. I have two little ones myself. Sparklers can be really fun, but you got to be really careful with them too. So making sure you have, you know, that fire safety talk with your kids before you hand that over, because it is like handing a blowtorch over to a child.
25% of firework-related injuries are in kids under the age of 5 and involve sparklers. And today wraps up the very last Monona Community Festival. Organizers announced the event was ending because of fewer volunteers, increased costs, and new regulations. The original version of the Monona Community Festival started back in the 60s and 70s. So it's really sad to see it go. At least everyone can enjoy one last time today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy this morning. Scattered thunderstorms are possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 84 with wind out of the south at 5 to 10. Tonight, thunderstorms likely 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 74.
For the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Yeah. when I had most of my
All right, welcome back again to a live 4th of July edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, as promised. You know, we played back the interview with President Biden, and I said we go right back to the phone lines. We'll do just that. Tom from Jackson. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hi. I hope we give you a minute to say what I'm going to say. I saw the debate, and I from the very beginning, it seemed to me that the Biden was over prepared, and he had really too many facts, and his voice was dry, like mine is right now, and his voice did not come across very well, especially at the start, and. I don't think he was ready, Biden, for how Trump would react to the questions. And instead of answering questions, Trump was attacking Biden. And that, I think, shocked Biden. And you could see visually the reaction on Biden's face, which I think was one of the best things about the debate, was watching Biden and his reactions to Trump's attacks. Trump, his main thing over and over was the border, over and over. And it was a false narrative, because back in the fall of 23, there was a border bill, a bipartisan one that was put together, one of the most strongest ever. And Trump said, no, I do not want this bill. So he said to stop it. So this is a false thing. If it would have been allowed to move ahead like it should have been, the border would be a much less of an issue. But back to Biden. I think Biden, a third of the way through, he really came into his own, and he was starting to learn how Trump is attacking him and how to respond. And I hate to say this, but he was answering more forcefully and more in the garter, I guess, to Trump. And then by the end of the debate, I think Biden was winning the debate. And I'd read that people who heard the debate on the radio thought that Biden won, and he had answered every question where Trump hardly answered any question. I just want to say that it's an honor for me to talk to you now after listening to you interview the president, and I'm hopeful for. Pay attention, and he's all, I'd say 99%, and he is the best for the country, and I'm glad you had the opportunity to interview him.
Hey, Tom, well said. Thank you very much for those kind words, man. But listen, I'm just an average guy, man. To me, having people like you who call in and listen, is much more important to me than having an interview with the president of the United States in the long run. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Hey, Al, what's going on, man?
Good morning.
How about that music?
Hello.
How about that music? The big payback.
It waking me up. I just want to say congratulations to you for being able to have this interview in the first place. The other part of this is I'm so sick of these people talking about age because of the fact that look at your family and look at the people in your family who have gotten older. Do you kick them to the curb once they reach a certain age?
In America, we do. In America, we do, Al.
I'm saying in your personal family, you don't do that.
No.
And this man has worked for the nation for over 40 years in several different capacities. But the point is, as he said, in the last 3.5 years, he's done more than any president in the history of this nation for the majority of the people in this nation. I was on one of those planes spraying Agent Orange in Vietnam. And I was on the ground fighting just like everybody else. The point is, when I got back here, I was successful in business and what I do to a point where I got ill once and I went to a VA hospital and they said they can't serve me, even though I'm an honorably discharged combat veteran, because I make too much money. And you see, that's the kind of stuff that we have to deal with. But the biggest problem we have today is that the majority of minority men do not vote. And most of what happens that affects us the most is coming from the Supreme Court and Congress and our representatives, so-called representatives, to the point where if we don't vote, we don't put the right people in place to be able to help us or represent us. So we've got to encourage more people, especially men and women, under the circumstances, with all the things that they've done to women's rights in the last 2 years. We got to get out and vote. We got to put people in place who represent us and how we think and what we want. And if they're not doing that, vote them out of office. And the worst thing that could happen right now, in my opinion, is putting Trump back in office, because as everyone has said, he wants to be a dictator. And he's already said that that's what he's going to do day one. What part of that don't people understand? If that's the way you want to live, fine. But if I was at home in Detroit, I would be packing my bags to move across the river to Canada. I almost did that when I got out of the military. And right now, I think that I would move back to Detroit just so I can get on the boat and move to Canada to get away from this fool.
Hey, Al, thank you very much, as always, man. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Carol from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Carol. You say what?
Good morning. I was listening. He was talking about dictatorship, and I'm afraid that either way we're going to have dictatorship, regardless of which one of the two candidates win. Trump is worse internally, but I believe, and Biden is better internally. But Biden likes foreign wars, and he is, and our money is going very fast into all the wars. And but the reason I think we cannot escape from the dictatorship except by voting for, maybe by voting for Kennedy, we can. But these two candidates are both too dependent on the big corporations, Biden on pharmaceuticals and Trump on the oil industry. So they are so dependent on that money for re-election and for their political stands, and the companies depend on them so much that they can't even allow Kennedy to get airtime. The radios don't accept him on their news usually. They don't ever talk about him as if he doesn't exist.
So let me ask you, Carol, do you understand why he can't get traction? It's because he can't garner enough people who are willing to support him to get on these platforms. That has nothing to do with anything other than he hasn't been able to, you know, get his message to resonate with enough people for him to even, you know, be a player in it.
It's because they don't allow him to go on many radio stations.
I know he has. That's because he has to have garnered enough political will from people who support him. He hasn't been able to make that happen.
He got enough to get to win in 4 or 5. I don't know what the numbers were, but he got what they needed for CNN, and they still didn't let him in on the debate, for example. That's just one example. But all these different interests get together, and they all say, we're so afraid of Trump that we want Biden to win. But Biden actually probably couldn't win as well as Kennedy if they let him in.
Well,
they won't let him in.
Well, nobody's going to let him in. And, you know, third parties, the last time that I can recall a third party candidate that that was able to carry any medal at all was the guy with the big ears from Texas. I don't know. I can't think of his name. You know, some 30 years ago, who was a billionaire himself and he had his own money. So I hear you, Carol, but, you know, Kennedy is not even going to be a player from the perspective of him having any opportunity of becoming a president of the United States. He may be able to become a spoiler, but that's about the best. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom.
Hi there. Your last caller just confused the heck out of me, but that's another story. You know, in a week and a half or so, Fascist Fest is coming to the city of festivals. And I'm sorry, I'm all over the place at the moment.
Hey, maybe Tom, leave the jokes up to me and then you'll be able to.
Okay.
I'm only joking, man. Go ahead. Ross Perot. Ross Perot. Thank you, Tony.
Ross Perot.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
Yep. You're right. We do need to talk about this, but we also should give equal time to all the gaffes that Trump has done. You know, when Mitch McConnell froze up twice, and you and I had this conversation a while ago when this happened. I never heard on any of the right-wing talks that we need to have Mitch step down. And that to me was a far more gaffe than what Biden just did. We need to talk about Trump's cognitive and lying issues in more depth. I mean, all this energy we're giving to Biden, this is – the only thing this is doing to me is giving the right wing even more fuel. We need to talk about it, but we need to move on. We need to talk about 2025. We need to talk about what Trump wants to do, who Trump is, his lying and lying and lying. And we don't call him out on that, but we do call a man who is a stutterer, like the gentleman last hour who was saying that, you know, he gives Biden another 4 months and he's going to be, you know, completely out of it. I don't believe that. I think he's a very, you know, your interview was great with him. And listening to Biden, you just got to keep in mind the man's a stutterer, and that's how he communicates. But he is a brilliant man. He has the lady just before was saying about Biden's into foreign wars. Biden is only into foreign wars because he's trying to prevent a bigger war. Russia takes over Ukraine, Russia goes to Poland, Russia goes to Moldova and all those other small Baltic states and stuff to take all that over. That we can't have. But that's what Biden is doing. You know, please wake up and look at the big picture of what Biden is doing. Biden is getting dragged into the Israel thing, and I hear music, so I'll stop.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. Amen. Enjoy the 4th of July. All right, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. You tuned into a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of a very special live edition of the Earl Ingram Show on the 4th of July. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Hey, that was a great interview. From what I can tell, Joe is sharp on it. He's sharp as a tack, as far as I'm concerned. I want him to finish the job. Anyhow, what I can't understand is why is everyone catering to Trump? It just aggravates the hell out of me. Whose idea was it to even debate this guy in the first place? This guy doesn't come to debate. He comes there. He came there to defame Joe Biden, get under his skin, rattle him, and make him look foolish. And that's what he accomplished. Who needs the debates more? Trump needs them more than Biden. But hey, Biden's numbers were going up after the conviction. You know, I get so frustrated with the Democratic Party. They can have a victory, and they just somehow or other further away, you know? Look at what Nancy Pelosi did when Trump gave that state, they handed the speech to her. What did she do? She ripped it up. That's what you do with Trump. This guy is a dirtbag. Why are you even giving this guy any relevance? This guy, he's committed 34 felonies. He's been convicted of a sexual attack of a woman. And you're respecting him? He's a lowlife. Slime ball. That's all I got to say.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Don, before you go, all of those things you said, in spite of all of those things you said, it's still a close race. That's what's amazing to me, right? That there are people in the face of all those things you said who dismiss all of that, you know, as if none of those things happened.
I don't understand it either, but Biden's numbers were coming up. In fact, some of them, he was 2 points ahead after it. And now, you know, like I said, these debates, it's not, look at in the dictionary what a debate means. You put out a question, you answer the question. My God, all he does is keep saying, oh, you're the worst president in history. Okay, why should I give this guy a debate when he doesn't even recognize me as a president?
Hey, Don, happy 4th of July. And thank you very much for calling and listening and always chiming in. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Calvin. Poor Calvin. You got him in there working on 4th of July, but happy 4th to both of you. I'm not really one for the polls, so I think that on Election Day we're going to see a little bit of a different thing. I think that there's a lot of undercurrent going on now that we're seeing the reports coming out about the island and our friend jumping on a 13-year-old girl and some things that people might have forgotten about, because I think the average voter, like you've said many times, doesn't have a lot of time to think about this all this stuff together. I did not see the whole interview. I'm going to sit down and watch it. I was going to sit and watch it with my coffee, but I saw you were on, so I wanted to jump on and say happy 4th, and that's it. And I did see a couple of the shorts you did, and I liked the fact that President Biden owned what happened to him. with the stutter and kind of the stammer. And, you know, I'm going to mention he might want to, you know, close his mouth as he's standing there, because that was kind of a not a good look. But, hey, you guys have a great and a safe, happy holiday weekend. I think I found a couple of things to celebrate for the 4th of July, so I just thought.
Hey, Brendan, thank you as well. You as well enjoy the 4th of July. And as we get ready to wrap up this very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show on the 4th of July, you know, politics has its place. Politics has its place. And, you know, had it not been for a request of the President of the United States that we play this out today, Calvin and I probably would not be here. But, you know, when you do this, you have to understand that, you know, some things are very important, and we are a media company. Make no mistake about that. Our responsibility is to get information out to you guys, not just via the radio, but all of these different platforms that, you know, are still foreign to me as I continue to struggle. If it was not for Calvin, I would not even know how to even almost click on a computer. But, you know, it's the new world. And so media is just such an important weapon. I came from a time when we didn't have that. We had radio and transistor AM radio, no FM. And so I've been around. But this time is a sacred time and an opportunity for us and those of us who are fortunate and blessed to have, you know, an opportunity to come before people daily, that we understand the value of it and that we understand it's not about the individual who sits behind this microphone. The individual who sits behind the microphone is a tool. The vehicle is this media conglomerate that has come up in the last couple of years and spread all over like wildfire over the state of Wisconsin. And all of you great listeners who listen to us on a daily basis, I want to speak for all of those at Civic Media. Happy 4th of July. Take a breath. Enjoy this with your family. And I'll be back on, Calvin and I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. Happy 4th of July.
From the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.